On today's show, we're going to give our theories on the new Monsters, Inc. land, where it's going to go, and at Hollywood Studios. Peter Pan is now open again with some brand new scenes. That's all coming up on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 463 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is John. I am going to be your host for this episode, and I am joined, as always, by my esteemed co-host, Adam.
What's up, everybody?
How's it going, Adam?
Good. I'm very esteemed.
Yeah, we kind of rushed to get to this episode, I think. We both did. We just barely got home and just got into it, pretty much. Which is what we should really do now. We're just going to jump right into it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about Monsters, Inc. I think some people were questioning whether or not this was worthy of an entire land, right?
Yeah.
Especially this long after the IP has been released, right?
Right.
It's been that long ago.
Yeah. Do they do anything these days that's not a land, though? Everything's a land.
See, that's just it. Even whatever they come up with, let's just, for example, all right, what we have now, we call it, and this is one of the potential sites, right? Muppet Courtyard, right?
Yeah.
Animation Courtyard.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Well, these places that they're even talking about putting something like this is not big enough to be considered a land, right?
Yeah, not in and of itself, yeah.
No. So, of all of Hollywood Studios, I actually think there's a number of places that could be potential, right?
Yeah, there's a few.
So where do we want to begin? I mean, you could literally take just about any place in the park almost, except for the lands that have been built and recently.
I think Hollywood Boulevard is where it should go. Just kidding.
Where in Hollywood Boulevard?
You're right in the middle. Like
as soon as you come in, you just take out where what used to be Sid Hunga's and whatever that is now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't fit nothing there. It wouldn't be very big ride.
Right.
Let's see. Let's start with the biggest rumors that people were.
Yeah.
One of them we would say was afeared.
Right.
And that's Muppet's Courtyard of that area, right?
Right.
They got a decent amount of real estate over there to work with, especially if they take out Star Tours, right?
Yeah.
But I question, and it does look as though they're going to include the restaurant in Monstropolis. And the reason why we say that is because if you take that old artist rendering, right, and you zoom in, you can see. Well, you can't see it very good.
That sushi place, right, or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
the sushi place they went to. That's named like in that. If you're looking at the photo that's found out to appears to be old, right, is the story lately. Yeah.
It was from 2020. It was marked.
Yeah.
2020. One of
it was
them
marked
anyway.
2020. So, in other words, that gray building actually has the words. I can't read it now, but I've seen it in another post somewhere. Looks like they intended on making some sort of a restaurant. So that could stand to reason that they would use the area that was, or is, Pizza Rizzo for that purpose, right? So that stands to reason. The only thing that I don't quite get as far as fitting in is I can't see them, especially depending on how much of that area they use, I don't see them taking out Mama Melrose's. Because Mama Melrose's does pretty good from what I understand, right? I mean, it's a pretty good restaurant.
Well, but if they're going to make this into Monsters, Inc. land, it's not going to fit as in there. So I feel like they would get rid of it.
Right. That's just it. So I honestly think that this area is the least likely. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because what reason did they have for not completely including that area all the way up to Star Tours and just making that Galaxy's Edge? Why did they stop where they stopped? Because it would have made more sense to include the existing Star Wars attraction. So why wouldn't they have encompassed all of that already?
Yeah. I mean, if I was them, I wouldn't choose this location either. I would, unfortunately, potentially use it as an expansion for Galaxy's Edge. Because that would make more sense.
Well, that's what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
So then I actually thought about, is it feasible or is there an entryway where it's possible that they could utilize the now abandoned Star Cruiser that's just on the other side there. Utilize that area and just expand Hollywood Studios, basically, to include that area.
Do you mean expand Galaxy's Edge there or expand?
Cause no, I just like, expand Hollywood Studios because it's close enough. I would think you could actually take another route there. That's not very likely. I'm just saying. Really? I'm just throwing something out there. I'm throwing, like I said, what I'm going to do with this discussion is throw all the possibilities at you. Mm-hmm. Right? I do think this, though. Hollywood Studios, what was it? Well, we'll talk about this a little later, too, likely. But the TEA, the theme park, the organization that's basically the standard in measuring attendance for theme parks and museums. Hollywood Studios had a pretty significant drop from previous, not as bad as Animal Kingdom, but still pretty significant drop in attendance, right? Which is weird because it's constantly hard. It has long lines for all the major attractions, but yet the attendance is down from year over year, right? Yeah. So it seems unusual that you still have a long wait for almost anything there. I think, as we've said before, the reason being it's like e-ticket land, right? Everything's an e-ticket. And if you once you throw another coaster in there, you're just throwing another e-ticket in. And right. It seems as though that's the only attraction that they're going to put in this Monsters, Inc. land.
I mean, most lands have two, but yeah, they didn't mention a second attraction. So
I think when all is said and done, this is going to ultimately end up being just like a Monsters, Inc. area. Like a themed area. It's going to have the attraction and then close to it have a little something else, right? Yeah. Maybe it's going to be scaled back. I think it's going to be scaled back from a land. That's all I'm saying is from an entire land.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be a very big land as it is, especially if they're using existing real estate. But what they really need is they need to expand, if possible, Hollywood Studios in general. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is the park isn't that big to begin with. So, yeah, the attendance being low isn't that surprising because it's not a big park at all.
Yeah.
So anyway,
let's talk about the other popular area real quick before we get into the other ones. The Animation Courtyard, which now houses Star Wars Launch Bay, Disney Junior Dance Party.
Yeah.
And something that I didn't think about, I actually heard this brought up by someone else. We said, no, it's not likely. Last time we said it's not likely because they were talking about redoing The Little Mermaid. But they actually have not talked about that Little Mermaid show since they said something. They didn't mention it at all in D23, you notice? So maybe they're leaving the door open. Maybe they're leaving the door open for not redoing it at all and totally taking it out.
As far as I know, it's still reopening because I do believe they've mentioned... I mean, look it up.
That's just it. Didn't they mention this last year at the whatever you want to call that, the mini D23?
Destination, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I think it still has like an opening date. Because they were doing casting for the... I'll double check that real quick. And the restaurant was Harryhausen's.
Yes. Right, because that it was the octopus that was the chef.
Chef.
So it was made like a Japanese-style restaurant, which they could use, right?
Yeah,
so.
This is my favorite spot to choose from of the choices because...
Of the major choices.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to give you some other options.
Right. Launch Bay essentially is just a tiny museum and some meet and greets and stuff that... It's a very fractured Star Wars presence in the park. And so, I don't know, they're just utilizing the old backlot tour buildings and animation board on it. So,
supposedly, there's the big building right behind Launch Bay is office space right now that used to be part of the animators' space back when it was an actual working studio, which has been.
Yeah.
At least 25 years.
Right.
Since it was a working studio, probably.
The parking deck, too, back there, or no? Isn't there a parking
deck? I don't think it's a deck. I just think it's a big building for that. I don't think there's a parking deck. But there could be some parking in there because whoever's working does have to park somewhere.
I see it. No, the parking deck is actually kind of over where Slinky Dog is. It's right behind Slinky Dog, the fence.
So it wouldn't reach that far.
No, it wouldn't reach that far. So yeah, it's office space, which, yeah, they would obviously have to relocate some of that if they were to build it there. So,
So with these being the two most popular talked about spots, right?
Yeah.
I find two maybe minor logistical problems here.
Yeah.
We get a decent amount of traffic flow that go to Galaxy's Edge and to Toy Story Land, even though it's been like 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So in the morning, like rope drop, you see people going one of these two directions, mostly. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So if you put a land on either of those sides, it's kind of, you're kind of actually, you're clogging this area up because you would have people going to the Monsters, Inc., and then you'd have the crowd that goes to Galaxy's Edge going to the same way if they're in Muppet Courtyard.
Yeah.
Over here, on the other side, you have it clogging it up because of people going to Toy Story Land.
Kind of.
So unless you open something else up in the middle somewhere, you're actually clogging one of these two sides up if you choose one of these two options.
Yeah.
Traffic flow-wise, it would make sense if they chose an area down Sunset Boulevard or...
Yeah.
The potential, there's a decent amount of real estate where the stunt show is, and the stunt show has been kind of scaled back and scaled down over the years. I mean, they've taken, I think, weapons out, So things like that. So I don't know the level of popularity currently. I know that it can eat people on a busy day, right?
Yeah, it does.
But if it's not, if people aren't wanting to do it and it's not, you know, filling up. I don't know what the attendance looks like currently, but I don't think there's been anybody turned away to go to the show. Let's put it that way. Once upon a time, that was a problem. And like every show was full. Once upon a time. Well, what do you think about that area?
The stunt show area? It's definitely big enough for a land.
And then you got the area right there with Dinosaur Gertie out there.
Right.
That you might could utilize that. I mean, they apparently love filling in water lately, so, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you would have enough kind of flat land. You wouldn't have to tear down too many buildings or anything to get to it. I mean, there's Backlot Express right there that you would either leave or you could get rid of it as well.
Could turn it into the restaurant.
Right. Possibly, yeah.
Because it sounds like Monsters, Inc. is going to have an eating place one way or the other.
Yeah. And that would make sense. A good sushi restaurant would be interesting. Be interesting to see.
Maybe a character-based hibachi. Maybe they could actually utilize some sort of a neat animatronic
that looks like he's the chef there. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It could work there. I mean, it looks like it actually might be less work than some of the others, because the stunt show isn't a lot of building. It's just an area that has some backstage of the show, I'm sure. But
and traffic flow wise, it would actually help break it up a little, because people would go take a left and go to that area.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, you would spread it out a little.
Yeah. I feel like we would have heard some kind of inkling that it might be in danger of being closed, but if this was a real possibility.
Not if they haven't decided. I mean, the only reason why people are saying Animation Courtyard Muppets Courtyard is because of the old rendering, the rendering from 4 years ago.
Yeah, that rendering definitely looks like it was Muppets Courtyard.
Which might have been discussed initially. But
yeah.
And I'm sure it was. I'm sure Animation Courtyard was discussed as well, and they just haven't really figured out what to do. I personally think they need to find a way to expand, and they need to build a new area for Hollywood Studios, just to make it flow better.
Yes.
If you're going to do that, and I don't know if this land's even buildable, but if you notice looking at the map, there's some almost like some trees, like a bushy area, right behind the Lightning McQueen show building.
Facing Academy,
which I know it's only been 5 years, but there's been attractions that have been changed in even less time. they could potentially change Lightning McQueen. I mean, they're going to build an entire new Cars attraction over at Magic Kingdom. Why do they need it at Hollywood Studios? Right? So what's stopping them from using that area in addition to that, the area that's behind it? Assuming that's buildable, I mean, there may be a reason why they're not using it. But that would give them a little bit of an expansion.
Right.
And it would actually help with the traffic flow because they would go in a totally different direction than the other lands.
Yeah, you would have... You would have to go through essentially Rock and Roller Coaster to get to it, which is a little far, but it is there is space over there that they could expand. They'd have to reroute some backstage roads and such, but
yeah,
it's possible. It might also be too visible from like World Drive.
Well, I mean,
potentially
they
too, if they
could
there,
work with that, because if you think out west. California Adventure, they just basically encased it in like a tree wall for the outside on the block for you to keep it somewhat hidden. But the thing with this area too, I'm not, like I said, I'm not sure that that's buildable. It's funny, I came across a tweet, I guess you still call them tweets, even though it's X now. What else could you call them?
X's?
O's. So the message on there was that, probably sarcastic remarks, I couldn't remember specifically, but talking about all that wasted real estate in World Showcase with the water, you know, in the middle, and they just did it for a show and all this stuff. And Joe Rohde actually chimed in, and he said the main reason why that's all water there is because it was unbuildable in the first place. The land wasn't buildable. You couldn't put anything on it. He said that's why they filled it in with the water, that section.
Yeah, that was in Marty Sklar's book, too, as well.
Yeah, but he answered that question to somebody because he was talking about all that. Somebody was making a comment about all that wasted real estate there. You know what I'm talking about?
So, yeah.
Like, well, there was a reason why they didn't build there. Yeah, and there could be a reason why they're not using this area was my point with that. We just don't know.
Yeah. You know, there's also where the Sunset Market area is, there's kind of an empty space. It's just a backstage parking lot and such back there. Behind that, between Rock and Roller Coaster and like Brown Derby or so.
That was another thing I thought about, because let's be honest, that section of food right there, nobody would miss.
It's not
if
great
it was
yet.
Gone.
Yeah, it's basically an outdoor walk up food area, and it's not the best.
People have a tendency to only crowd like two of them, right?
Yeah. So you can usually find an empty or walk right up to one of them.
So that area would kind of take away from the aesthetic of Sunset Boulevard, unless they found a different way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Or if they just sort of moved the entrance, like made it a walkway into it, sort of put it back from the road a little bit, from Sunset Boulevard, I guess.
And honestly, back there's kind of like a road. They could open this up and make this almost like a walkway as another way to get to, like, the Toy Story Land, right? They could.
Yeah.
Because it goes all the way back there.
I've even heard some people say if Rock and Roller Coaster's days are numbered, you could use that building, the Rock and Roller Coaster building, and just repurpose it for this coaster. But I don't think they would do that.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I think that's up in the air, though. I think Rock and Roller Coaster is possibly up in the air, even though it went through a pretty lengthy refurbishment just recently.
Right.
Yeah. They're supposed to start moving on this, like, next year, right?
Yes.
Right, from what they said, so.
I mean, that building would be
one way or the other.
Put that kind of coaster in it.
Yeah.
But.
We'll definitely find out soon.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be somewhere in Hollywood Studios, obviously, or maybe repurpose some parking lot area, but I don't think they would do that.
I'm just thinking, if you're trying to get the traffic to flow better and not have it be so crowded in certain areas,
spread out.
Putting it in Muppet Courtyard or Animation Courtyard really would not help that.
Yeah.
That would just clog one of those two sides.
Yeah. That's a great argument, though, for that Sunset Boulevard, because nobody goes to there first thing in the morning.
Not typically, right? Very few. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like now, now that it's a little bit older, though, but...
Yeah.
And as we said, they may want to potentially expand Galaxy's Edge eventually, and if they want to do that, then...
Yeah, Muppets, you know, Courtyard
is the perfect place. Yeah.
I mean, last time we went to Mama Mel Rose's back in January, that area is like, there's nobody back there because there's nothing to do back there. And Pizza Rizzo closes at like 5 p.m. every day. So there's like a Christmas gift shop and then Mama Mel Rose's and the exit to Muppets.
And you never know when the Muppet shop's open.
Right, it's hardly ever used at giant gift shop. So it kind of does make sense that they might repurpose that. So, I don't know. Aside from Muppet Vision 3D, nobody really cares about anything else back there, though. Would you care if Mama Mel Rose's went away or Pizza Rizzo or the Christmas gift shop?
I don't know. I've always wanted to give Mama Mel Rose's a try, but I just haven't yet. So maybe I need to maybe its days are numbered.
Might be. May have to soon if you want to give it a shot. But yeah, that area is underutilized for sure, aside from Muppets.
I guess on my upcoming trip, I'm going to have to take a ride on the riverboat, go to Tom Sawyer's Island. What else?
Yeah, right. A lot. There's a lot to do.
Go to Mama Mel Rose's. See Muppets.
Right. I mean, Gonzo's Royal Flush is the name of the bathrooms over there. Those are some good bathrooms that,
I knew
in
you would
the
know that.
Courtyard area.
So would you be prepared that one a lot. For the bathrooms to go away?
Well, I'll say this. If you're at Baseline Tap House and you need to go to the bathroom, there's small bathrooms across the street, which are the new bathrooms. Kind of, I guess, across from Tatooine Traders, like kind of those, they're small. Not great. Gonzo's Royal Flush is where you want to go. That's over in Muppet's Courtyard.
Royal Flush.
Much bigger bathrooms.
Interesting.
So, yeah. But I don't know. It does make sense because that's not a very... There's nothing to do in that area other than Muppets. And let's face it, Muppets isn't superly heavily attended anymore. But it is still great, and it's like Jim Henson's last project they ever did, so it is kind of special in that way. So I wouldn't want to see Muppets go away, but the rest of Muppets Courtyard area, or wherever you want to call it, is definitely not a busy part of the park, put it that way. But neither is Animation Courtyard, because Disney Junior Dance thing and Launch Bay, not exactly, you know, heavy people eaters. So,
So I think that kind of covers the Monsters, Inc. for now. I knew it might be a little lengthy, so we've taken just about half the program.
One last thing to throw in is if you ever wanted to expand Toy Story Land, you would need some of this space potentially for a Toy Story expansion, maybe.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Like, do you want to eat into too much of that? Like, what do you have more of a vision for, Toy Story or Monsters, Inc.? So, I don't know.
That's a pretty good point.
If you ever wanted to expand it, which they probably won't, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you get to see where that Pan opened as of the recording?
Yes.
This reopened, and they made... looks like they freshened a little bit of it up, because it looked like the lighting was a little more like the... Similar to the Disneyland one to me. Don't you think?
Yeah.
So they
added Tiger Lily to the...
Yes. So I can't even remember what the previous Native American scene looked like.
They had the chief out there with his arms folded like this. And then they had like a few drummers drumming. But they were in, like, you know, war paint and feathers and your stereotypical look. Whereas I think now they kind of made it more, they added just the character, like, Tiger Lily's the main character. She's, like, spinning.
But I was thinking, Tiger Lily wasn't in the other scene, but just in a different
She may have been sitting.
Like she wasn't up dancing. Yeah, I thought she was sitting.
She may have been sitting with them, you know, but they just added her like kind of dancing now or something.
What was the purpose of doing it this way? I think they made the drumming like not so incessant
Like right, before we could hear it from every part of the rush.
Yeah. Well, and it was in a different, it kind of like went along with the music more. It like flowed with the music instead of just being ding, 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 ding,
right,
ding,
right.
Ding.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's what they were doing. So yeah. It was a little bit on the annoying side on a track that's already very repetitive.
Right.
So it looks like it was possible that, you know, and this scene looks very bright, right?
Uh-huh.
Either way, I think it was actually a change that, in a way, could kind of make everybody happy, right? I mean, I think it was because they made it better. I mean, they made the scene better. They
I think
just eliminate it.
Right, yeah. They didn't completely get rid of it because it would have been weird to just completely remove it.
Yeah.
So.
Made it look less offensive, we'll say, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that was the point. Make it less stereotypically looking or whatever.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, I think this was kind of a mission accomplished thing. I actually like it. I mean, it's an improvement. It's a genuine improvement and not a, you know, just a change for the sake of change type thing. So,
yeah. No, it looked pretty good.
I feel like some of the animatronics moved a little more fluid. I mean, as far as Pan goes, anyway.
Yeah, Wendy looks more fluid. I guess he looks a little more. His head's still just like.
I mean, like I said, they weren't like. These were originally what, 1971, right?
Yeah,
and they're probably built prior to that. I'm sure they're just about the originals. They gotta be.
Yeah, cause
they didn't. I mean, because he just barely moves the wheel back and forth.
Yeah,
and he's got the ship.
Yeah, speaking of that, I saw recently Retro WWE posted a 1974. Video, and Peter Pan was one of the rides featured in there, and it looks just like it does today, like most of it. It's amazing.
Really?
How it was like, wow, it really, and this actually, the video has sound, which is very rare for something from 1974.
From the old ones, yeah.
Yeah, so it actually has
mostly
the
older
recorded
ones
sound. That's pretty cool. You can even hear Jack Wagner's voice on the monorail, which is pretty cool. From 1974.
Most of that older footage is on a 8mm
silent film
camera.
Yeah. But this one actually had sound. It was pretty cool. So I definitely go check it out if you, not that.
Nice.
You know, they're not a sponsor, but.
But yes, yes.
It's cool to see some of the old stuff like that. Anyway.
So let's move over to Animal Kingdom for just a moment and talk about the Esperanza Carousel ride, right? This coming to the Tropical Americas.
Yeah, we didn't go into detail on this last time, did we?
Yeah, we didn't get, you know, there was so much to talk about. We didn't get to do the up close. Some of the characters that are visible on the concept art that they have. So basically the story is pretty much that there's a wood carver and he's crafted some of the favorite animals from Disney stories for guests to ride on. Right?
Yeah.
So basically, and here's the ones that you can kind of tell from the rendering.
Yeah.
We have Nigel from Finding Nemo, right? The what was he? The bird, the pelican, was it, or was he the
Jeffrey Rush's character?
Yeah, I think so. Kevin, of course, from Up. That was one you can see up close. Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King. It's funny. This is Ka from The Lion King, but I'm sure they mean The Jungle Book. Got to be, because that's where Ka's from. There's no Ka in the Lion King, is there?
No.
I didn't think there was. Squirt from Finding Nemo. Hey Hey from Moana. Sheldon from Finding Nemo. Abu from Aladdin.
Oh, nice.
Who this is Parse from Encanto. I don't know that one.
Would you like to ride Abu?
Okay. Hathi Jr. from The Jungle Book. Bambi from Bambi. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, and there's some other ones, but those are the ones that they could tell, right?
So, I'd like to ride Baloo. I wish Baloo was in there.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. But the one they actually show up close is Kevin, so it looks pretty cool. And it looks like it's genuinely made out of wood, actually. don't know about the seat. I wonder if the seat's comfortable, but
is it made of wood? Sorry.
This could be fun though.
Full House reference.
This could be more fun than I think I would actually ride this more times than I would try sand, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, as far as spinners go.
As far as spinners go.
I mean, what is your favorite spinner? That's an interesting question. And why?
I thought we have covered this before.
Because we have, what, Dumbo, Aladdin, the Carousel, Triceratops is definitely the worst. Well, it spins. Carousel drivers. So.
It spins really slow.
Yeah.
I guess that means, does Mission Space count?
Well, let's not count that one. What would I say? I would probably go with Dumbo still. It's probably my favorite overall, but...
You know, once upon a time, I would say it was Magic Carpets.
It's like in the sun 90% of the day, so it's like, I can't...
Well, I was going to say, the one thing about Dumbo is at least now the queue has... you don't have to, like, be baking while you're waiting.
Right.
The old Dumbo queue, you had nowhere
That's
to go.
True. That's true. It's kind of like Magic Carpets. I avoid it unless it's like night or first thing in the morning.
Magic Carpets has at least a cover over it, like on the...
Oh, on the queue part? Some of it, yeah. But you're just baking.
Dumbo has an outside queue that's just covered, but at least you get to go inside for like at least a moment.
Yeah.
If you want.
But there's times of the day where Dumbo's not directly in the sun, like later in the afternoon or... First thing in the morning, maybe it's not as bad. I don't know. It's not as bad to me.
Yeah. I think with Dumbo, I can only think of one time in which I, like, maybe had to use the whole wait while they play before a ride time thing.
Gosh, no, that was...
You know what I mean? That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
I think some kids go in there just to play, though. Or some parents, they don't even get... They probably just get on the ride after the fact, just because... Yep.
Right. I don't think I've ever ridden it where if it's not a short wait or use a lightning lane.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever...
That would be one thing
about it. Where it was long enough for that in the last, like, 8 years, but...
Yeah.
But I like the carousel. I was trying to get to that is because the music, it's a lot, usually, like, the Mary Poppins music, which is cool, but I like the idea of having different characters... That you might like because that gives it repeatability of being able to pick a different character and say that you've tried them all or whatever. Especially for the kids, they might like to do something different. So it's not a bad addition, and it's better than Triceratops Spin because that was by far the worst. But anyway, this was kind of overshadowed by all the others, of course, because it's not that exciting, but I do like the detail.
Right.
So. Yeah.
So we're going to shift gears now because just recently, Theme Entertainment Association, right? This basically now is kind of considered the industry standard as far as global attraction and attendance report, right? As far as.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, the theme park index and museums, pretty much.
Yeah.
But in their book, magazine, whatever you want to call it, we have top 10 amusement/theme park operators worldwide. That was a list that was in there.
Okay.
And then it listed like total attendance out to the side. So this was based on operators. Disney Experiences was number one because they probably have a pretty good share of the overall. But they had 142,083, which I don't understand what that means. That's what that's based on. But anyway, it was almost 20,000 more than the previous year for them. So they had a 17% increase. They had somebody, the next group, I don't know who Fanta Wild Group is, but they had 111% increase. Merlin Entertainment Group, which I'm trying to remember, who do they have? Who is Merlin Entertainment?
Is that the European, mostly?
I think it might be. Number four is Universal Destinations. Number five is the Chime Along Group. And then there's a Happy Valley Group China, Cedar Fair Entertainment Company, Six okay. Flags Inc., United Parks and Resorts, and then Parque Reynudos. But the big one was the top 25 amusement slash theme parks worldwide, right? This is the one we mm-hmm. usually reference every year when it comes out.
Yep.
And so we have Magic Kingdom that was usually number one, still is number one, right?
Yep.
Attendance year over year actually went up. It was 17,133 in 2022, and it's 17,720 in 2023.
I feel like in 2019, though, this got to like 20 million, didn't it? It was close. It was more in pre-COVID than it was this year still.
Anyway, I don't know.
I think it was closer to 20 back then. Right. So it's less overall, but than pre-COVID, I think. But
and coming up actually pretty close in number two is Disneyland out in California. Mm-hmm.
And that's
2.2% increase.
Both Magic Kingdoms.
Yep, essentially.
Are usually pretty close.
Followed by number three is Universal Studios Japan. It actually right. had an increase year over year of 29.6%. Some of that there, though, could have been because they were still, I think the previous year, I think they were still doing a little bit of COVID lockdowns in some ways. So that might be why there's a big difference. That's definitely why there's such a huge difference in the China ones when we get down to them in just a moment.
Right.
So Tokyo Disneyland takes the fourth spot.
Right.
It was 25.8% year over year increase.
I do remember that Japan, Universal, and Disney are much more tightly competitive than here. Not that they're not competitive here, but it was much tighter. I remember that.
Yeah, well, it was about 16 for Universal and 15.1 for was the numbers for
Tokyo and Disney.
Yeah, Tokyo Disneyland. So the next one we have is Shanghai Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one year over year was 164.2% increase.
That's cool.
We know what that was due to. That was definitely COVID.
They still have too many restrictions back in 2022, I guess.
Yeah. And then Chime Along Ocean Kingdom in China was next with 184.5%.
Right.
Yeah, it makes increase sense.
They finally come back to, like, you know, decent levels.
Pretty much normal.
Yeah.
Number seven is Tokyo Disney Sea. Coming in at number eight, we finally have one of our American parks again. Epcot came in at number eight. It actually increased year over year.
I mean, surprised, but not that surprised because Guardians obviously is a big draw, but
Guardians has made a difference.
Guardians and Ratatouille supposedly are big draws. And now it's done with all the construction, but that wasn't until this year, so this is last year numbers, right?
Right.
Well, yeah.
Interestingly enough, coming in at number nine is Disneyland Paris. So it was an increase of 4.7% year over year, actually. It made it into the 10 million.
That's good for Disney because they now basically run Disneyland Paris completely, right? Disney's,
I think so,
completely owns it now. So,
and rounding out the top 10, actually down 5.5% year over year, Disney's Hollywood Studios.
That's kind of surprising to me because it's it was always kind of up there.
It was 10.3 this year. It was 10.9 the previous year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're talking about millions, that's 600,000 people less.
Yeah.
So, and then behind that, this is just for reference, because right behind these, basically we tied for 11, is we have Islands of Adventure and California Adventure, both the adventure parks in America, where it dead even.
Yeah.
Then comes Universal Studios Florida, so we can keep up with. Then followed also by Universal Studios Hollywood.
Hey.
Which Florida was actually down year over year.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Well, it kind of makes sense because Universal is putting everything into Epic Universe, so they're not building anything.
I would think they're going to make a huge jump year over year once
next year
that gets open.
Although,
well, not next year because that'd be 2024's numbers, but the next year when we see it.
When we see it, yeah. But it'll also be spread between those three parks. So you would think Universal, the original, might go down more because more people would just be going to Epic Universe.
Yeah.
Or maybe. Epic Universe will help boost the other two as well, Islands and Universe.
I think that's a good possibility because I feel like they're going to feel like that's more of a destination now, kind of like what Disney was.
Yeah.
Because they also have more hotels to go along with this. I think people are going to give it a, like, stay there for once.
Yeah.
Well, I say for once, but you know what I mean. Stay there exclusively. There's going to be some people that are going to do that once it's open, so.
And I think Disney's banking on people continuing to do split stays where they'll do Universal and Disney, but that's going to be an expensive trip if you're doing 3 days at Universal, 3 days at Disney, or 4 at Disney, 3 at Universal.
One thing about it, though, is if you still have the really young kids, it's still going to be your best option. It's still going to be Disney just because they're going to be able to do more there. I mean, because Disney. Disney does a better job of having rides for everybody.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Making the accommodations, too, for everybody, yeah.
Here's one on how the mighty have fallen, so to speak. Animal Kingdom is found at number 16 on this list.
And not too surprising.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it was like number 2, I think, wasn't it, back in 2019, but they were really riding high off Pandora.
Yeah, Pandora boosted it for a few years, but it's 8 years ago now. Since it opened.
Yeah, it's older.
And there's nothing new at Pandora. They haven't added anything. They've actually taken away more than they've added to Pandora. More. So, yeah.
And it kind of hurts this park that it's not open later. I mean, I get why it's not open later, but...
Right. They tried that for a while pre-COVID and just never went back to it.
I was going to say, people also made the comment about a nighttime show, but I'm like, well, they tried that. Nobody went.
Yeah.
I think nobody stayed for it. So
I feel like my wife was the only big fan of Rivers of Light. There was like 20 people in the stands, and she was like, I like this show.
Well, I think what the real problem is when it comes to Disney, there's so much competition for nighttime shows.
Yeah.
That Animal Kingdom really didn't stand a chance. It really would have had to bring it to compete with, and you know, Happily Ever After or Enchantment or whichever one.
You can't do pyrotechnics or fireworks. Animal Kingdom, you scare the animals, so you can't do that.
Right.
So
it's just difficult.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Water effects are not that exciting anymore, you know?
Which is interesting because I'm pretty sure, I mean, since I've been able to hear fireworks of some kind from anywhere, that I'm sure the animals hear fireworks like every night.
Yeah. But it's
just saying
way to be like, it's kind of like a thunder.
It's not like right on them, but still, I'm sure they can hear them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's not like it's right close up, though.
But Animal Kingdom's going to need something to give it a little bit of a boost. Obviously, that's what they're doing with the Tropical Americas, but it's going to take a couple of years.
Yeah, 2027.
They're probably going to look at more of this attendance-wise, the being kind of low there.
Yeah, especially, too, like I was just saying, if people do split stays... Universal, Disney, they're going to drop Animal Kingdom because that's going to be the one you're going to be like, oh, we'll have to skip Animal Kingdom. So
yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. I'm actually thinking maybe next year just doing a stay at Universal, actually, not a split stay. So,
yeah, I still wouldn't do that, but I would only go to Epic Universe for the Nintendo.
Well, your only interest is the Nintendo part.
Well, maybe
I think if you gave the other parts of it, you know.
Yeah, like the monster part might be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other?
No, I'm talking about the other parks. I think if you gave the other parks a chance.
Maybe, but.
I bet somebody in your family would say you need to stay longer or something.
Maybe. Side note, though, we watched Despicable Me 4.
Oh, you did? Okay. I haven't seen that one yet.
It was meh. There wasn't, like, it was like, what's the point?
That one may have run its course.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
it feels like they just threw this out there
for money.
Just a few money grab. It was like it almost felt like the same plot as the last one, but just different villain or different.
Well, it's kind of like if you keep going, you tend to water the product down, right? If you go too long,
yeah.
Like I would argue that Cars got watered down over time.
Yeah, Cars 3, well, 2 was terrible, 3 was better, but Cars 1 is all you needed, really, in that series, to be honest.
And then you had, I guess it's questionable with Toy Story. I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like a lot of people went back and started talking about four, like it faded, almost like I was talking about the Star Wars movies faded quick. Like, right, you know what I mean?
Too, but COVID kind of hurt the longevity of Toy Story 4 because I need to go back and watch it again.
Well, I'm just going to say it's out there for everybody to see. So,
yeah. It's not like Toy Story 4, but I've only seen it that one time since we.
You've only seen it once?
Well, we saw it in theaters, yeah. In 2019.
You haven't seen it on Disney Plus.
I don't think I've watched it since, you know.
I guarantee you we have in this household.
I watched those shorts, the Forky.
Yeah.
What are they called?
Forky-esque question.
Yeah. I've watched some of those, but Toy Story 2 is still my favorite, but anyway.
I feel like the appeal of Forky faded fast, though, right? You don't see anything Forky where you did when a movie first came out.
Yeah, that's true. It's not, but again, COVID happened, so it's kind of like they're. That was the last
Forky. They didn't have a Forky walking around, did they?
Yeah, it'd be kind of like waddling around, yeah.
Anyway, Tiana's had some rough days, right?
Yeah.
Seems to be closing.
Frequently.
Early, we'll say.
Right.
Because it goes down at a certain time in the afternoon and it kind of stays down. So.
And is it not due to weather?
And then it'll go say Magic Kingdom's kind of closing early a lot anyway because of the Halloween parties.
Right, Halloween.
Because they do that like twice a week now, don't they?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's had some issues, that's for sure. However, I don't know how this has gone. Have you seen anything of how it's gone with the Halloween parties and how because, you know, the Halloween parties have been standby entirely. So is Tron.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything on that yet, no.
Well, I have one. This is from, this is the one tonight, actually, that we're recording this. The standby line at what we call Rope Drop for the Hot Not So Scary Halloween Party had Tiana's line all the way back to, you know, where you're just about to cross the bridge to go across over there. Yeah. It was that far back. Like, you just came out from around the corner from Adventureland, and there's the line.
I wouldn't use the party for trying to ride Tiana's. I just wouldn't. I just think you're going to waste too much of your time.
No, I will say this. It kind of looks like it moved, though. So maybe that's hopeful for the future of this ride.
Well,
that we'll be able to get standby eventually.
Based on the stability issues right now, during a party, I would not want to wait and have it break down.
Right.
Waste 2 hours of your party, you know.
Maybe it's getting better. I didn't see anybody toast anything about how Tron's line went. That would be interesting because I think they could go to a regular queue.
Yeah, I think they could. Yeah, I do.
Just because they have a lot of queue on the inside and the ride's short, so I mean.
How are you?
You're moving people in and out, right? So,
yeah.
I don't think it really needs the queue system anymore, but I mean, obviously they think some reason that they keep it on it.
Probably.
And then again, the only thing with Guardians is like there's nowhere for people to queue up outside if they
They do have that queue outside that has plenty of room.
It's not a very big queue outside.
No, it's not very well covered either from the elements, but they
it's
do
a little different
have
than
it.
How they had it roped off back in the day with the energy though. It's about the same thing.
I mean, I think they could open up Guardians, too. I think they like having virtual queue because it breaks up the crowd so that people don't just rush one ride, you know?
Right. And one thing I've noticed, though, here, this is August, right? So it has a tendency to be slow lately in years. The August has definitely slowed down in comparison to Once Upon a Time, right?
Yeah.
I did notice that the virtual queues, not for Tiana so much,
Tron and
the Guardians. Virtual queues for Tron and Guardians were open a lot longer for getting spots,
especially
we're talking
the
like an hour after.
Yeah, the 1 p.m. queue for sure. You have a
that's what I mean. The 1 p.m. queue was open for like an hour after,
yeah,
or so. Yeah,
interesting.
You can even find some Lightning Lane availability if you are persistent, we'll say, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're persistent in checking, you'll find some Lightning Lanes there. I think they're starting to come around with the inventory a little.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
I hope they add more, like, certain character meets back to the Lightning Lane pool as well. I think that would help. Certain things that you could just grab if you wanted something, but no other rides were available. I think that would be helpful to give people something else to get.
What about some of the character meets that they've had that were new at the Not-So-Scary Halloween Party? Did you see any that interest you? I mean, the Hitchhiking Ghosts have one now, apparently.
Yeah, that was the one that everyone's been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of neat. That's the only one I recall.
Well, doesn't Mirabelle have one?
Doesn't she meet during the day, though, at Magic Kingdom, too? I thought she did.
She might. I guess they haven't decided to have something like an Asha one. I guess they didn't think Wish did well enough.
Yeah, maybe not. I noticed Pirates of the Caribbean's gift shop was, like, under some sort of construction, and now it's obvious that the bar, the lounge, or lounge, is actually being built now because it's supposed to open next year, which is, like, the biggest thing opening in 2020.
But I thought that was, what they have to do with the gift shop? I thought that was going to be in Tortuga Tavern.
Yeah, no, it's now it's confirmed
part of the gift shop.
That basically the gift shop area is part of it is now going to be this lounge, and it's under construction already.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Because you're mixing that with the gift shop. I mean.
Yeah, and it almost looks like it's not completely closed off the way
that. Yeah, see, because that could be. Yeah.
And it doesn't look very big either. I was hoping, because I don't know. I hope they do like Ogas on this one and you will be able to at least get a reservation or walk up availability for this, because it's going to be very popular because Magic Kingdom doesn't have anything like this. It's going
to
be
exactly
like,
that's what I was about to say. That's why I think it's a mistake to mix it with the gift shop, because the gift shop, even though there's a lot of space there, don't get me wrong, I mean, they still need the gift shop.
Well, they don't need as big of a gift shop as it had. But I think it's taking over, what did it say? Okay, it says the tavern will likely be located at the exit of the ride where the construction is already underway, the space used for the Pirates League makeover experience, but it has not been utilized since COVID-19. So I was trying to remember, the Pirates League area was like behind the gift shop, was it not?
I don't recall.
Kind of like,
never utilized
so it's part
it.
Of the gift shop, but yeah.
So I think that's a full show for this week, pretty much. I think we covered what we intended to cover, right?
Indeed.
And as we are about to wrap up, I just want to say, I don't think I've mentioned it because I had talked about doing a cruise, but cruise for this time period was a tad bit on the expensive side. So instead I'm taking still Disney trip, but staying.
This World.
Yeah, at World Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
It was actually one of the few things available, actually.
Really?
Believe it or not. I don't know what's happening there. I find it hard to believe they're that booked up. I don't know what they were doing with the inventory, but.
Interesting.
Well, excuse me, for the special, it was one of the few things left.
Oh, I see.
It's almost Chapek-esque era, believe it or not, what I was thinking. Because, you know, like they had a lot of things that just weren't available anymore, and then they're like, it's almost like they're waiting to see if they can get people here on the full price. And then discount it if they have to. Type deal. That was very Chapek era, though.
Right. It was also, hey, you know, this discount, but it's like five rooms.
Yeah.
That are being discounted.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. That's going to be over the holiday weekend in October. My kids, what their school does is they kind of break up their teacher work days on that one. So they actually get off that Friday as well. So,
okay.
And it just so happens that Saturday is our anniversary.
Right. So, yeah, you mentioned
11 that. Years.
Yeah. Congrats.
So there we go. Good. Well, there it is.
Do you have asynchronous learning, Dave?
No.
That's what they basically just say, you're going to stay at home and you have to be the teacher for a day. That's basically what our school
is. Like force you to be the teacher for that day?
Yeah, basically. It's like, we're giving them some assignments, they stay home, and you just make sure they do it.
Well, we already have that because our youngest one, Olivia, does a program. It's called Collaborative.
Good.
So she does in-school work 3 days a week, but then Mondays and Fridays are basically homeschool, right?
Good.
That's the way the program works.
Oh, okay.
So they give you the lesson plan. You basically do the schoolwork on those days. But it also gives you the option that you don't necessarily have to do them in those days, as long as you have the work done, really, between those 4 days that they're off, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right?
So I see.
As long as it gets done in that time frame. But it's designed for a Friday and a Monday, you know.
Right. Makes sense. Hmm.
But yeah, it did actually not too bad, because he's in first grade, so early levels, it's easier to do. I don't think it's something I would do if it was like, you know, probably at the stage where there was math that I may not remember.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting there.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in her case. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good trip. I'm actually looking forward to utilizing the new Lightning Lane system. Really, it would be my first time utilizing the new dining reservation system, which is way better as far as how you check for things. Definitely better as far as getting, you know, finding availability if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the available times are not the best, but at least you knew they were out there, right?
Right.
Like you can just about find any restaurant having some form of availability now. You may not like what it is, but the time, but, you know, you can't say that it wasn't available for something, right?
Right.
So,
right.
All right. You can find us on Facebook. We can on X, Instagram. It is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store still, I guess? Or did we switch it all together? I can't remember.
We still have it, but the website links to our
different public.
Yeah, TeePublic.
Yeah. Yes, TeePublic. Did the Challenge Runner shirt, so you can go there and try and check that out. And YouTube channel, of course, our episodes are now uploaded there, so you can listen to them there if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
As well as get video footage of various things, you know, as we post them. And where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com.
So for Adam, this is John, this is Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.